As always, the show available by way of podcast. Hourly updates of the podcast going up. If you missed it, you can go back anytime. Apple, Spotify, Google, wherever you listen.
So I think the 6 o'clock hour will be up in minutes.
It'll be up in minutes. If you missed any part of the six, while you're there, rate us, leave a review. Love you. So many ways to listen. On your radio, which is still a thing. You can stream it. Sportsnet.ca/960. Smart speakers say, hey, babe, play Sportsnet 960. Subscribe to the podcast, because then you don't need to go looking for it. Just, oh, there it is. Look at
It's already there.
No,
don't waste data on the road. Just do it at home on Wi-Fi.
Jason Lackenfor is our NFL insider. Yeah, wild, wild day yesterday in the NFL.
That Sunday nighter was absolutely insane.
It's hard to because they were down 15 points. Chargers down 15.
With a half quarter to go.
With, 5 minutes left.
And had done everything in their power to give the game to the Raiders. And yet it was the Chargers and Raiders. You knew we were not done with that game yet.
Their final drive to send it to overtime. 19 plays, 83 yards. Fourth and 10 to Keenan Allen. They get 11 yards. Fourth and 10, holding call, fresh set of downs. Third and 10, Allen for 14. Fourth and 10, again, Williams for 14. Then the final play of the game.
Fourth 21.
Touchdown.
Man, like, I grew up a Chargers fan. I remain a Chargers fan. I was waiting for the heartbreaking, gut-wrenching loss and never at any point believed they were going to win. And yet, I'm okay with it, because if you watch Justin Herbert yesterday, you cannot be more excited about a single football player, like maybe since LT.
He can whip
it. It's unbelievable what he did and the punishment he took, the fourth downs he converted, the backside pressure that was on him, I guess it was frontside pressure, from Crosby all night. Like, it was sensational. They did everything they could to try to lose, and Justin Herbert almost won it for them.
I mean, of the teams that missed,
that's gross.
That's, for them, me, that's Indy. The hardest to figure.
Them and Indy, because it's Indy. The way they went out.
What happened with Indy?
Well, and the thing with the Chargers, too, is like, this. You shouldn't have had this game mattering. You just had to beat Houston 2 weeks ago. Like, what are you doing? Just like Indy. It's like, well, you just had to beat Jacksonville. What do you mean you're not in the playoffs?
The Chargers, Dolphins, Colts, and Saints all finish at 9-8. Now, the Saints, they had Jameis Winston. I mean, you were hanging your hopes on him to start with. And
didn't they have four starting quarterbacks this year?
And then they had that donkey that never even played pass with his receivers, let alone practice 2 weeks ago. The Dolphins, won 7 in a row and then 8 of 9 by the time it's done?
I think they dropped, 7 in a row and then won 7 in a row. It's crazy.
So, okay, you're there. But for the Colts, you have the league's leading rusher and all you had to do was beat Jacksonville, who has it was established this year, one of the worst football teams ever. And you couldn't do it on the final day. And I was looking this morning, Jonathan Taylor, who mentioned, goes 15 of 77. There's 15 for 77, no touchdowns.
5+, that's fine.
Fewest rushing yards since week 8, and only 2 games where he had fewer attempts than the 15 that he got yesterday.
He's going 5 a pop, and you're like, what's going on here? That's how good he's been. That cost him the MVP, you got to think, hey?
Well, I think Rodgers might have.
Rodgers and Brady, but if they get in and Taylor sets and, you know, has another 150-yard game, 2 touchdowns, he's in there. I don't know if he's in there anymore.
They're not happy with Carson Wentz because you may remember he was an Eagle, and they went and got him and gave him, a bunch of money. Now the Eagles are in, and the Colts aren't, and Eagles have picks and all of this. The Colts, I saw this morning, when they allow 20 or more points. Now, 20 or more, okay, but it's not, shouldn't be debilitating.
Right.
The Colts are 1-8 giving up 20 or more.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like a team that runs the ball and needs to eat clock and likes to play with a lead. That was,
Thank goodness you said clock. The Jags, meanwhile, went into this game and said, we are going to shut down the run game. And
that's what everyone says against Jonathan.
If Carson Wentz can beat us, then by all means go ahead, and he couldn't do it. But still. And we'll talk to Lackenfor about it. But as the day went along, all these other teams, Like, well, maybe what are we looking at here? All these other teams that scenario, the you know, if somehow the Jags beat the Colts, all the Raiders and Chargers would need to do is tie. They could literally just take knees all game long and both qualify for the playoffs.
Wasn't far from that in overtime.
It wasn't far from that. We'll ask JLC as well about the timeout by Staley. Because there's so many things to look at there. If he was saving clock to get the ball back, would he not have done it earlier? Because he called the timeout with, 4 or 5 seconds left on the play clock.
Exactly. So they let it get to 25 seconds, and then they use the timeout. And you could see Al Michaels does the, oh, and Chris Collinsworth is like, oh, I don't know about that one. Oh. And you're like, what are you doing? Because it appeared the way that the Raiders were using the clock, they weren't intent in gaining a bunch more yardage and lining up for the field goal. Now, maybe they would have, but they weren't in a comfy spot for that kick. They gained more yardage and then had a 51-yarder.
They were clearly running the ball. Staley said afterwards, I called the timeout so I could get my best run defense out. I don't know why it wouldn't have been out there prior, because they'd ran the ball back.
Well, and again, the play clock was down at 5. You had a ton of time to get your best deep run D out there. Like, what are you talking about?
You would think. And then as
I'm shocked you guys aren't NFL coaches. You got it all figured out.
Well, just watch it.
Tell me you were asleep for this game.
I wasn't asleep,
no.
Or you just
watching. Just wasn't watching.
What were you doing?
I was told we were watching Yellowstone last night.
Are you caught up? Are you done?
One more.
I got one more, too. I can't believe I've rolled the dice to avoid spoilers to this point, but we'll get out.
Yeah, don't text us at 960.
No, they'll text. It's fine. I don't care. So the Flames, one thing we didn't talk about, and it's not so much, I don't think it's a huge deal, but we've seen the line combos, the Gaudreau, Lindholm, Tkachuk, you know, that seems to work. And then against the Canes, they changed the lines again. Just curious why you would do that. I'm sure there's rationale. And I
showcasing,
is that what it was?
Showcasing.
So explain.
Well, if they change the lines, get those other guys going, and maybe.
See, there's your mumble. You're mumbling now.
Yeah,
there it is.
That's because I have no clue.
You have no clue. No, what is?
Because I'm making up a bunch of. We don't want to state clearly because people will hold you to it. If I mumble through it, then I can't be held accountable.
But then you had the at the end. What does that do? What does that mean? Yeah, what's that?
Well, if it came true, then it'd be like, see, I whistled and did the click.
Well, what came true? What has to happen for that to be
a trade?
Oh, a trade.
Yeah, move them out. Showcase. That's what showcase typically. Show them off.
So who are we showing off for trade?
I don't really know.
Right. Because it was Tkachuk, Lindholm, and Coleman to start the game. Gaudreau, Monahan, and Mangiapane.
That middle guy, probably.
You're going to need more.
You said six names.
More than Mangiapane and Gaudreau to get some shine. But either way, it just didn't feel like that was going to be the end. But then Coleman comes out and scores early. It's like this Sutter guy knows what he's doing.
Yeah, or Stahl shouldn't give him the puck there, but whatever.
definitely don't turn it over there. Anyway, I get where fans are at because it's hard to watch your favorite team go on a road trip like that and lose three in a row in the fashion that they did. Because if they were to have won any of those three, they probably would have had to have done it in a style where they'd be stealing it. You'd have needed a big goaltending performance. You'd have needed some kind of bounce. You would need something to go their way, where it was hard to see, now that you know how it all went, how are they going to win those games?
Well, and they've had a bunch of games like that, to be fair. They did that to New York. They've done that to Pittsburgh. They did that to Boston. They did that to the Islanders. They've had a ton of games where they've gotten goalie and beaten teams that are pretty darn good. It just wasn't on this road trip.
Have they really beat any of them? I'm maybe being a bit nitpicky, but have they beaten any of the upper echelon teams?
Yeah, like New York. Like, they're fifth in the league.
But does anyone really, I mean, who were we talking with the other day about New York? Boom. I don't think Pinder was on and I brought it up.
It was born.
Yeah.
Shesterkin, man, should be an MVP candidate at this point. He's been that
right?
good.
And
he was awful in both
thing.
Those games, yeah.
He's like, they're good and they keep winning, yet I don't hold them in that sort of regard. So I'm
beat Washington and Washington, wild one, but you did. Pittsburgh.
They
twice.
Beat Pittsburgh, beaten Boston, beat the Rangers
Boston
a couple
once.
Of times. They went to overtime, right, against Carolina.
No, the old Carolina game, they had three pucks swept off the goal line at home. They owed chance the crap out of them that game. They should have won. Bad luck. But look, they had good luck in a lot of games. They beat Pittsburgh 4-0 when they Pittsburgh is the better team on that road trip. But this overreaction of three games I find really baffling. Like, it was three of the best teams in the league. It was a three-game stretch, guys. Three. That's it. Go look at Tampa last year. They were
I don't pay attention to social media, so maybe you guys are seeing more of it, but I didn't talk to anyone that was up in arms.
The notion that you shouldn't go try to bolster this group and try to go on a run here? Like, you still think it's a playoff team, yeah? No?
Absolutely. Yeah. I said that this just proved what they are. They're a good team. They're not elite.
Yeah, not yet. That's for sure.
It's not.
And that doesn't mean that you're doomed. There's been lots of good teams that get hot, and they're not elite
teams. Montreal was not elite last year.
Dallas in the bubble was not an elite team, but they got hot at the right time. The Islanders, you could argue, 2 years ago was the same thing in the East. Like, there's lots of teams that aren't elite for a full regular season that get hot in the playoffs. And they're usually teams that get goaltending and play strong defense.
Like, but do you...
I think this team could do that. Like, is it probable... Less than 50-50, but yeah, they could go on a run.
Well, it's not easy for anyone, but they could absolutely, and that'll be the formula.
And that happens in the playoffs. The Texas said Montreal a year ago. Evidence, you know.
Yeah, like very recent. Yeah.
Piece of evidence A would be how they got some great goaltending and some veteran D stepped up and tightened things and frustrated teams and found their way into round number four. Now, I'm going to go back... Let's forget for a moment. Let's not even bring into the conversation or into the thought process about what the cost would be. Mark Giordano returning to the Flames for the remainder of this season by way of trade from Seattle. Rhett Warner, would you be in favor, or do you think you can't go home again?
I can't decide if it's the best thing to have a guy come back like Gio that knows. Because my concern is, as well, I think you don't want to disrupt the room too much. Because I think that's an important thing. In my world, it always was. Teams that you have brought guys in, you wanted to make sure they fit in. At least you know with Gio, he's going to fit in. I don't know that he... Yeah, so bring him back. Depending on the cost, of course, which is going to be. But I don't think bringing him back would be a... You've improved your team.
Because that's why I'm asking. I guess, A, does he help you on the ice? B, the fit in the room? C, is it awkward for him? They've not named another captain. How's he going to react and act? How are they going to take him in? All of that. And maybe it's nothing. Maybe it's something. But I guess just all of those things, because I am curious, you as a player. It doesn't happen very often. Certainly not in that short amount of time. I was thinking, like, I guess what? Keith Tkachuk came back to St. Louis there after being traded at a deadline and came back. This would be a little bit kind of vice-versa. But...
And it's expansion draft, not trade. Like, they didn't want to lose them. Their hand was kind of tied once they got past the trade deadline last year. I just think, like, let's be reasonable what our expectations are about what the player is at this point. Like, I think if he's coming back, he's on a pair with Gudbranson at this point. At even strength, he's not creating the type of quality chances that Oliver Shillington is, and I want a really good skater with Chris Tanev. That's not Gio anymore. So if you're looking for a guy to play third pair, and if there's an injury, jump into the top four, I'm in. If you think there's somebody that's coming in to bump Hanifin off the top pair, this is not who you want.
Okay. Do you agree with that, Rhett? Third pair, he's a third pair for you?
I think he's a solidify your D. Yeah.
Yeah, and if he has to play top four, you know you can do it. But, man, you'd feel real good about your D if he was on a third pair. An old pizza delivery man was watching in the rafters.
Well, let's be honest. Who would you rather see out there, Gio or Zadorov?
Well, like, not even close. Yeah.
Duh.
But what's the price for a third pair of D? Is that going to match what Seattle wants? Is he? Does other teams see him as a tough four?
Again, I'm not worried about the price. I just wonder about the
I'm
overall.
I'm leery about the room, too. Yeah. I am. There's just too much that didn't smell right last year after the Kachuk puck flip Muzzin thing.
Few years, Rhett?
I think it's been a few years of... Well, and the reason I say that is because they always made a point. The room's great. We love each other. The room is great.
The tightest group of guys we've ever had.
It doesn't, from my lofty perch, it sure doesn't seem like it's that wonderful. Usually you see a different result on the ice. The guys care. It didn't look from afar like a... And I could be completely out to lunch. And I think maybe they've never had a really good room.
That's why they think this one's good?
Right? If you've never known a really good room, then, well, this is, yeah, this is as good as we've ever had.
Well, and let's be honest, like, you could talk about a good room. No one believes you until you do something.
Exactly.
It could be the greatest room in the world, but if you don't get through a round of playoffs, no one's buying it.
You know who had a great room last year?
The team that won the cup?
Playoffs.
Yeah. The Tampa got a good room?
You know who's got a good room this year? Not Montreal.
And as skilled as they were, and in the regular season, what a great room Toronto's got. Oh, no, playoffs, not a good room. Like, it's kind of not fair, but that's how we're going to judge it, right? Whether that's, you know, I can not like you, Rhett, and we could win a cup, or I can like you, we can miss the playoffs, but not when we're talking about it like we are. It's like, it's only a good room if you win, Dean.
Yeah. No, you're right. There's no teams that get obliterated or just bottom right out in the regular season, but man, they're tight. You've never seen a group of friends like this before in your life. They love one another. They go to battle for one another. Yeah, they're 29th.
That Arizona Coyotes. You want to see a bunch of group of guys having fun?
Oh,
yucking it up?
The wives and girlfriends.
Oh, man.
The time they spend together.
They do those dress-up
sometimes
parties where they'll wear the matching outfits.
Yeah.
Just unbelievable. They love each other. What a great room.
Having Halloween parties when it's not October 31st, getting all dressed up.
Oh, yeah. Love those guys.
And it might be awkward to put him back in that room. No matter, like, the fact that he's been here, everyone's, oh, well, he'd move right in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so are you putting the C right back on his shirt?
No.
Because, you know, people will ask that, so I'll ask you. Would you make him the captain, if only for the rest of the season?
I'm trying not to bring him back. This is quite the twist here. No, absolutely not. Anyone who's now you need a captain is like, what to this point has hurt about not having a captain? And maybe has it helped? Have you maybe lit a flame under a few people here because there isn't one?
It's way more beneficial, in my view, so far. I don't think they've missed having a captain and a leader.
They had a captain last year. How'd that season go?
Well, it was good. No. And that's the thing. Like, if you're looking at the lineup and you're adding Mark Giordano, your team's better. But just all things, is that... Right?
That's on paper.
On paper. Easy to say, easy to do. Oh, yeah, we don't know the price we're paying. Sure. Better than Zadorov.
Okay, so what
right
if
move?
What if that ends up being the only move that makes sense in terms of cost? If it's they do nothing at the deadline or they bring Giordano back?
Well, again, now you're getting specific, but you won't tell us the cost of
a second or a third round pick.
I'd pass, because I just think if you look at the deals they've made at the deadline, like Forbert was like a third or a fourth. Fantenberg was like a third or a fourth. Like, you can always go find that like 5, 6, 7 D-man for cheap. And it sounds like what you're thinking about Gio is paying for a lot more than that 5, 6, 7
I'm not D-man. Thinking anything.
Well, you
I'm
said a second round. I'm not giving that up for a third pick.
I'm throwing it out there as conversation.
Well,
only conversation.
I think that's a reasonable price, but I don't think that's what... Like, the GM has a lot of patterns. Like, he loves going to get in-depth defensemen for mid-round picks, not high picks.
And all of that is just, at the end of the day, bad asset management. Right? You could have traded him, didn't, kept him, lost him for nothing, and now gave up something to get him back.
Yeah, it's a little critical because you got a Norris in those years that you would have traded him out for. Like, that was a really good season.
No, I'm not talking. I'm just talking last year.
I'm with you. We were all on the same page, and people looked at us like we had three eyes. It was like, well, you guys know the expansion draft format.
We're losing this guy. He's not here for game one of the 21-22 season.
Oh, but we still have four games against Montreal. Okay. Yeah, sure.
Dream. Yeah, right? Okay. Like, I mean, that's what I'm talking about is that
I'm with
not,
him that.
Not my rant from 8 years ago.
Right.
I'm talking about last year, trade deadline. How? Why didn't we get something?
And I
know he's moving. And to be honest, and I mean, maybe he had a say in it, and it was such a weird year. Why didn't he want to go and go play on a, knowing that he was, or maybe he didn't expect to move.
I'm not as critical on that because I just think players aren't paid to forecast hockey games. They're paid to play, and belief in yourself is what all these guys probably have too much of. Like, how many teams are there with the thing at the beginning of the year? I think we got to, if everything goes right, we can get in. I think there's 32. Maybe there's 30 this year because Buffalo and Arizona were so bad. So I'm not critical of a player when he thinks his team can still get in. It's the GM that makes the decisions. And when your probability of getting in the playoffs is less than 10% and you don't move an asset like that, I'm with you. That's mismanagement. Now, maybe he's the captain and it goes above the GM's chair in some organizations. It certainly did with Jerome.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if Gio is in that tier or not. Maybe when the dust settles in 3-4 years, we'll find out. But, you know, he also probably had a bit of trade
protection
there.
I'm talking more along the lines, there's a chance a tree went to him and said, hey, we want to move you. Are you okay with it? And if Gio, I don't know. Gio
said,
well,
he says, I still think we can get in. Because, again, he's not a math major. He's a hockey player. He thinks his team can work. I'm going to work harder. I can get this group together. We're going to get in.
But at the same time, he knows how the season's going. He knows at that point what needs to go right and what cannot go wrong.
Yeah, they just had to win all those games against
right?
Montreal. And so he believed they could. I'm not critical of him for that.
But what if he knew that they weren't going to make the playoffs and still elected not to move the no trade?
That's a what if that I don't think he is real, but I would say that would be unusual. I think he put a lot of prestige in having a one jersey career.
I do
I believe
too.
That.
That's kind of what I'm saying. I think everyone's motivation is different. This was I think that this city was very special to him. His wife and he, they lived here for so long. They had done so much in the community, had so many relationships. I don't know. And once you kind of come to terms
all right,
with
then,
the fact
that
you're moving on.
Do you
on?
Respect that, or does that lead you to dismay? Because you can look at it that as well, both sides of the
both,
coin.
Both, yeah.
It'd be hard. If I knew that the team had a deal that really was going to help them moving forward, and I was 37.
Mats Sundin. Do you respect him for saying, no, I don't want to, I want to. He didn't finish there anyway. Went to Vancouver for a while. But wouldn't do a trade.
Yeah, it's hard to say.
Hey, man, it's like, that's fine. And it doesn't mean, you don't want to win enough. Like, I don't watch Gio and say, man, if he was more intense and cared about winning more, he would have been better. That's not the vibe. It was almost the opposite. When things went poorly, he tried too hard. I can do this all myself. But, I mean, you're talking about being one of a very, very small number of people in today's NHL. If you go one team and you're a captain and you were undrafted and you're closing in on like games played records and things, you're my 1,000th game's coming out. Like, come on.
It matters to some guys for sure.
It matters to all the guys. It's just which guys does winning trump all that?
I just wonder if we're going to start hearing more and more of that as we get closer to the deadline. Because Seattle is not going to be a playoff team. The Flames can certainly add some depth on the blue line, and I would guess the narrative will be, if not Giordano, then who? Who knows your system, your coach, the team, all of that? Who's a better fit? That's going to be talked about, I would guess, a lot coming up in the next month and change.
Better fit might be someone who's not 38, but
yeah. It's two things, for sure.
It's not the Norris guy you're getting back.
No.
It just isn't.
Jason Lacatfora, NFL Insider. Wild one yesterday across the NFL. We'll get into most, if not all of it next. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Boomer in the Morning is on right now. Sportsnet 960, The Fan, Calgary.
Love getting guests on the show when they join us. It's on the guest hotline, brought to you by Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar. Come on in. Enjoy hockey and football game day specials. 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast. Pickup and delivery also available. Atlas Pizza, 403-248-3344. A lot of things happening, as you might guess, in the NFL. Not only was it a wild Sunday, but it is Black Monday. As, you know, you got to respect it, right? No dilly-dallying around. We're not going to drag our feet. Oh, well, we're going to see what we... No, you're fired. Fired.
See ya.
Pack your bleep. Get out. Now, Denver played Saturday. So Vic Fangio got the gas. What, yesterday? Or was it even Saturday? He gone.
Saturday played. He was gone by yesterday. Yeah. Yeah.
So this morning, already some changes, some of them expected, one kind of not so much. Mike Zimmer, he gone with the Vikings. Also, the GM, Rick Spielman, is out. Matt Nagy, I have not been fired. I haven't been fired. Have you been told you've been? I've not been told.
I still have a job.
We can confirm, it seems like this morning, he has now been told.
Now his keys don't work.
He's fired.
Yeah.
So there's that.
He doesn't have to answer that question anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's nope. Positive.
Fobs. They're not keys anymore. It's a fob.
What does that stand for, Rhett?
I have no idea. Freedom of information. No. Mm-hmm. First over the boards.
The general manager also gone in Chicago as well.
Ryan Pace, yeah.
There you go. And the more shocking one, the Miami Dolphins, who we were just talking about.
Seven-game winning streak.
Unbelievable run to the end of the season. Got a win, what, yesterday? Tua looks like he's maybe all right. But would you be stunned if Watson is the starter there next year? Like, would you be stunned?
No, but there's a lot to unfold.
There is.
But I think if he's starting in the NFL, that's the most likely spot he is. I'll say that.
If he does go to Miami, it's hearsay, his coach will not be Brian Flores. As Flores has gotten the gas. It's a little
surprising. For coaches a year?
Not this year.
Yeah, not this year. But they won 8 of 9, swept the Patriots, right?
They always beat the Patriots. It's crazy. Once a year. The Patriots are dynastic.
I guess if you dig in, maybe there's something to the winning streak and that. But still, you
win. 0-7 start. You know what it is? This is a Redism thing. It's like, oh, it didn't matter. They're already out of it. Can't read into that. Which I'm kind of with.
Is that
like,
your Rhett impression, by the way?
It's like Joe Colburn flirting with 20 goals when he's shooting every fourth puck's going in down the stretch in meaningless games. Like, come on, we can see through
more
that.
From you, Ryan Pinder.
You don't think that's part of this? That it's sure well, he won seven in a row, but if he hadn't lost the seven in a row before that, we actually might have been impressed.
When the pressure's off, it's easy.
When they were actually in it and didn't need 1,000 scenarios to unfold.
No, I'm talking. If you're going to do a Rhett impression, put some heart and effort into it, please.
I made burgers without buns. I had 17.
See, that's the commitment we're looking
Thank
for.
You. Yeah.
Well done. Ian Rappaport of Rap Sheet NFL. Dolphins reporting on Twitter. Dolphins coach Brian Flores was a significant reason why Deshaun Watson wanted to be in Miami. With Ooh. Flores out, this situation may have changed. There you have
it. Who else does he like? This guy that might miss a year due to go get his coach. What do you do with Tua there? That's interesting. There's quite the carousel to unfold, right? Because Rodgers is not happy. Even if he wins the Super Bowl, he might leave. You've got Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance in San Fran. They're not going to keep both those guys. What's New Orleans doing? Are they cool?
What about Russ? Is Russ going to cook? In Seattle or elsewhere.
Russ is, he doesn't want to get traded, but if he were to, here are my four destinations.
Still curious to see what's going to go on with the Giants, because it's believed that Gettleman, the GM, is going to be gonged. Does Joe Judge, who just got crushed yesterday.
Yeah. And I have some sympathy for him. I mean, that's a horrible roster, but doesn't it feel like the type of offseason where you could swoop in and get one of these guys? But they're probably the Giants, so they'll give one more year to Danny Dimes, and he'll screw it all up again, and then they're going to wish they went and got a guy like Garoppolo or something like that. Like, you look at Tannehill, how Tennessee grabbed him off the scrap heap out of Miami. Been great. I feel like that's Jimmy G could be that guy.
The New York Giants, this is from Michael Lombardi, former GM. The New York Giants, with their loss yesterday, their winning percentage over the last 5 years... 27%.
Oh, 270.
During their worst era ever, when they went 74-78, their winning percentage was 28.5. So they are, you are looking at
the worst ever.
The worst at least in terms of results, the worst Giants team ever.
Feels like it.
So definitely keep the coach and the quarterback. What was that? What was it? Field Yates. I got to get this for you. Because remember, of course, they go and they draft Kadarius Toney.
Yeah.
There it is. The Giants used a first-round pick on Kadarius Toney and signed Kenny Golladay.
Oh, God.
He was awesome. The highest-paid wide receiver in free agency by spending $72 million over 4 years.
I got to eat 43 nuggets because of that jerk.
I know you did. Not yet.
I
you
do
will.
Have to. I'm save that one.
So first-rounder on Toney, $72 million to Golladay.
Oh, that's awful.
Neither scored a touchdown this season.
Oh, man.
Zero between the two. Now, I know Toney got injured and Golladay in another.
No. Golladay's a complete swing and miss. He looked exactly like the guy a year ago that couldn't stay healthy or get into the end zone with regularity. That's the guy they bought. At least Toney's going to get better.
Is he on your bleep list, Golladay? Because he
yes,
got
he
you.
Is. Okay, good. He has the Nuggets. Fired up today.
Is there any way Kenny Golladay will be back on your fantasy team ever? Like, can you look past what he did to you this
I tried
year?
To look past the draft, and I'm like, this guy's, I kept another round, he's still there. Another round, he's still there. Highest, best player available, all that. And I'm like, I can't do this again. I can't. Kenny Golladay, I did it again.
What yeah.
am I thinking?
So do you hate yourself, or do you hate how the draft ran, or?
Kenny.
Oh, you hate Kenny, yeah.
$72 million, you can't get to the end zone?
What's interesting, too, is that in Miami, so Flores is out. They're going to make that change. I still feel like we don't know what Tua is going to be. He had showed signs this year that maybe he could. You still took him over Justin Herbert.
Yeah, one pick it.
And I feel like maybe Herbert, maybe he regresses a little bit. But, man, I feel like that's going to hurt for a long time.
It's a completely different trajectory. One guy's already being attempted to be replaced multiple times. Like, if not for the legal cloudiness of the situation, the murkiness with Deshaun Watson, he's there. They had a deal in principle agreed to. Yeah. The owner was in. Do you think anyone in LA is talking about finding a quarterback not named Herbert? Absolutely not.
Now, both teams went 9-8. Both teams missed the playoffs. But I don't think there's...
No, you're talking about a player. It's not close.
I don't think there's anything...
Like, if you could pick any young quarterback in the game to start with, there's probably three or four, and Herbert's one of them, and Tua isn't. Sorry.
What about Carson Wentz? Would he be one?
That's no.
What a disaster that was.
Well, he had a nice little run there. They started 0-3, and it looked like they were going to
surf into the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. I had the red zone on yesterday, and listening to, was it Scott Hanson? I always get it wrong.
Oh, was it Chris?
Chris or Scott? Yeah, no, one of them. Yeah. And, you know, he's trying to, well, just some... interesting start here. The game that we're most surprised to see is the Jags out to an early lead over the Colts, and hit the tone of his voice. There is some we have a situation going on in Duval County where he got so excited.
Charged up.
He
got
was
him.
Wound right up.
I remember exactly where I was standing and who told me when someone said the Jaguars were about to win. That changed everything the rest of the day. It gave Pittsburgh-Baltimore new meaning. It changed the complexion of the Sunday nighter a bit, which certainly came into the focus in the overtime.
Oh, yeah?
It was the curveball of the day.
What a wild day. And the Raiders and Chargers literally could have just taken knees and both got in.
And in the overtime, it appeared that may have been the plan, that we would be content to let that clock get down. And
how wild, I sorry to jump, but how wild it had to have been, not only for the Steelers, but their fans. They need a winner in the Raiders and Chargers. Just somebody win. We don't care. Just somebody win.
And so now you're inside 30 seconds left. They're at a very, very long field goal where it's like, geez, if this gets blocked and run back, like, whew, we could lose. Like, maybe we do just, it appeared for a few moments there, that clock was going to run to zeros, and it was going to be a tie game.
But even before that, they were down 15 in the fourth with five to go. It's like, well, yeah, they're winning this game. This is we're in.
How many fourth down conversions between down 15 to game-winning kick for the Chargers? I'm guessing there's like six or seven. It's incredible what Herbert did.
I think it was five at least, because on the first one, they go fourth and 21 to Palmer for the touchdown to make it 29-22 with the two-point conversion. Then that final drive, 19 plays, 83 yards, fourth and 10, third and 10, fourth and 10, And then with last play of the game, 5 seconds left, touchdown. So the Steelers have got to be like, what the f*** is going on? Yeah. Are you kidding me right now? Then you get to overtime.
And you get more fourth down.
Field goal. And then more fourth down. Tie game again. You had to feel like these donkeys are going to screw us after all of this.
And there were a few boys that put a few bucks down on the old tie between the Raiders. I don't know if any of you got sent to you. There was some big old paychecks waiting.
I saw a number, like it wasn't a billion, but it was hundreds of millions of dollars.
No.
That was you think of all the swings, right? Steelers make the playoffs, Steelers miss, Raiders win, Chargers win, both. All of those situations that Vegas, depending on how that game, it was hundreds and hundreds, literal, of millions of dollars on the final play or two of that football game. And the Steelers get in. So big, big old Ben.
Chargers, man, it's they find new ways to turn wins, or at least in this case, a tie that would get to playoffs and transfer those to losses. It really is something special.
Probably should have mentioned JLC, Jason Lockenfor, our NFL insider. With all of these hirings, he has work to do for the place that actually pays him good money. Mm. So they trump us. So we may get JLC in a bit. I'm going to probably suggest we aren't.
Maybe eight.
Maybe. Mm. Maybe, baby. But a lot going on in the NFL. You just got to keep an eye on your phone, in your inner Google here, because this is how it goes. Do you respect this, Rhett? First day after the season comes to an end, gas him if you're going to gas him. Get her done.
There's no, we'll keep them mumbling around, and if you've made your decision, yeah.
Because hockey kind of does that. The longer you sit and you think, well, we don't know who's going to be available. And, we did win three of the last four, and our power play kind of did come around. Not the NFL. She gone. She gone. So where does Flores show up?
There's a few openings all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
Is he good enough that everyone wants him? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know.
I think he...
You go into an 0-7 hole, and I think that's still a bit of an achievement.
You go 0-7, but then you come back. Their run game was nothing special. Well, they get Duke Williams in for the last 3 weeks, month of the season. Their quarterback looked just okay. Have one of the best receivers in Waddle, right? I mean, this guy's
rookie.
He's not Jamar Chase.
Set a new rookie record for
still
receptions.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
You could do worse, even by missing. You could do worse than going on a tear and finishing the season at 9-8. But there's some suggestion that maybe Jim Harbaugh.
And that's been shot down. So.
Oh, is it Jim Harbaugh? Is he going to go to Dolphins?
Is he available? Harbaugh. This is Jeff Darlington of ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
While I realize many are assuming Flores' departure is tied to Harbaugh's potential availability, I can assure you that is not the case. The Dolphins are not targeting Jim Harbaugh, per sources. The decision to fire Flores is entirely independent.
Well, thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate that.
Jeff!
Appreciate that in a big way. Did you spill something? Are you going for a tinkle, or what's going on over there?
No, I'm just pouring a little coffee.
I gotcha.
Going to bring some down that. Here.
How you doing over there? You good?
Yeah, I don't know.
You got a Bills playoff game.
Killing me today.
Did you what was it? Did you dialed in yesterday? You're like, they're in.
I did. I thought they played at 11, and I thought it was over. And a buddy of mine texts me. He goes, "Can you tell your Bills to finish these guys off?" I'm like, "What? It's on now." So then I watched
Die Hard.
The second half. Sorry, I do have other things happening.
No,
that's right,
Ryan. I know you do.
You just think he's sitting around waiting for football to come on his TV? Did you ever replace that big screen in your basement, or is it still cracked, sitting on the floor?
It's gone.
How did that remind us? Bit the dust?
What do you mean?
Well, you had a sizable TV in your basement, the big one downstairs, and I was over at your place the one day. It was sitting on the ground. And was not working. It was
had a little line in it. It was fine. I'm just gonna lower it. Dropped it. Kids. I don't know. I really don't know what happened. It's all a mystery.
Did you? Because we hear now. We know TVs nowadays. They're light. There's hardly anything to them. But when you get to a certain size, regardless, they're going
to
be heavy.
Hard to hold.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Was it your shoulder?
Ow! Bang!
Just awkward to carry around.
Mm. I gotcha. Cumbersome?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Just put a handle on those things.
A handle on the TV?
Yeah, just a little.
Yeah, sure.
Place in the group.
Hey, Riley, what's your confidence level in a JLC after eight? Did you text him or did you talk to him?
I texted him, and he said, yeah, we're hopping on now.
Uh-huh.
And then I asked if he could be on at eight, and he said, well, maybe I could still be on the radio.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, so so no JLC today, unfortunately, as the firings happen in the NFL. It's so hard to look as we kind of pivot to hockey here. I asked Rhett, now I was maybe a little clumsily getting to it, but he didn't really have, we just went to break. With how, let's assume that we're getting 82 games in.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assumption, too. They'll push stuff back.
They're going to have to push things back. It'll happen.
Like, they've been doing abbreviated seasons for a couple of years to try to get to this point. They'll move some stuff. The escrow is... The IOU the owners hold from the players is massive right now. They'll get 82.
Does it affect anything? Let's assume that in the last... If they push it back a week, 8 days, 9 days, and you've got some wild kind of road trips, teams are doing one-offs and this and that... Does it help the good teams, the teams that we assume are elite or very good, or does it help the plucky teams near the bottom and maybe sneak in? I'm just wondering, is there, if it's going to trip somebody up, is it the teams that need everything to go right, or is it the teams that, all things being equal, they're probably in, they're a playoff team, they're holding home and cooled, but instead of winning the division, now they are a wild card team and have a tougher first round than they would otherwise.
I don't know. How could you predict that, right? It's so goofy.
You know what helps is teams that got home games left, so they don't have to do those crazy one-off road trips and flying. Oh, and then you're, hey, look, you're in Florida. We may as well drop you in for a game in Arizona and then off to Winnipeg.
I think that's...
We're going
right.
to see some... Because like, we are going to see something like that.
The Flames have one game left out of conference on the road. Columbus, the rest of the East, they've already played. That is a huge advantage.
Yeah, I think it is. I think you're right.
They're going to go back to the Eastern time zone for what? Like a Nashville and
getting rid of that time zone change of the travel. Yep. It has to be.
And I know how disheartening this three losses were, but like you've nearly completed the all the tough travel on your schedule, like at least the long travel.
It's so dumb to, again, where's my crystal ball? Can I tell you in June?
Yeah, exactly.
But I think the guys that have played a lot of... But the thing of teams that have played the most games, I feel like they're going to get bogged down at some point anyway.
Well, some of these teams are going to have an empty gap in the Olympic break, and other teams are going to have a very normal schedule. Like, there's all kinds of ebbs and flows here. It's not just the end of the year, right?
No.
Because even now, games played. The Senators have played 29 games.
Islanders 28.
36 games.
I looked at the Sens
37
today.
37 games.
The Sens are in the middle of an 11-game stretch where 10 have been postponed. They've played one. Oof. They got, beaten 6-0 by Toronto, and their prior game before that, December 18th. When they play in Calgary this Thursday, they'll be a couple days shy of a full month with one game.
Is this you having some sympathy for the Ottawa Senators? Is that what I'm picking up here?
No, screw them.
Okay, good.
You know who's going to...
Get in here, Matt Murray. Let's get some beach balls in on you. Let's rock.
Think about Montreal. They're done, realistically.
They have 7 wins in 34 tries. And they're sitting there thinking, oh, good, we're going to add time to the season. We're going to stretch it out by another week to 10 days. Maybe that'd be great.
Like, what kind of?
What if we played 86 this year?
Nasty world we're living in. I got to keep playing. And
get wrong for right. Come on now.
Because they've played a bunch of games at least. Again, they've got to 34.
Colorado's way back in terms of U.S. teams and games played. They got a bunch to do.
And they just win them all.
They start learning. Most, good,
yeah. Because
I watched some of the Chicago-Vegas. Chicago won, but they didn't touch the puck. It was amazing.
Sounded like a Marc-Andre Fleury event.
Yeah, it was quite amazing.
Against his old term.
It was really good. They spent the whole game in their own end. They didn't get a shot in almost a whole period. 2-1.
They find a way. They love him there, hey? Marc-Andre.
It's the franchise still.
If you if you care at all about that sort of stuff, it does stink that he had to leave.
Had to. That they traded him.
Well, if you're going to add the players that you did, he had to go.
No, like I say, when you trade for Robin Leonard, yeah, that's the pickle you put yourself into. That guy would sign their 1-year deals there the rest of the time. They put themselves in that spot. How they did that is crazy.
Well, you give Stone $9 million and you sign Petrangelo and you go and get Leonard and all.
It's the Leonard move.
You can't have a $7 million goaltender and then add another $5-6 million. You can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Guy should have stayed there.
Wonder where he ends up.
Fleury.
Last year of his deal.
I know.
That's a rental if he wants to be.
And I had said for a while, until Tristan Jarry decided, hey, I'm going to be really good this year, I wondered if he would go back to Pittsburgh, because Sid and Fleury are thick as thieves. They love one another.
Toit.
Very toit.
Do you think Marc-Andre likes malls?
What do you mean?
Well, the two biggest malls in North America. One's,
I don't think the Wild need a goaltender.
One's
Ryan.
In the Twin Cities, and I think they, Conkanen and Talbot.
Talbot's been very good. We talked about him a couple weeks ago. Why would he go to Minnesota?
The second biggest mall in the world. You got a water park. You got the old medieval theme room. Retkin, he's got the space room, the astronauts and Mars.
See what you're getting at.
Polynesian rooms.
Yeah, they got like 8 Aldos. Does he like shopping? Does he like the mall?
Aldos. 8.
There's a Wetzel's Pretzels in that mall, too.
Is there really?
You like a Boston Brute? They got all kinds of Boston pizzas up there.
I know the guy that owns it. Very good.
But can you go for a skate while you're there?
I think you can.
Really?
There's probably dolphins, too.
Come on. No, I think the dolphins are gone, aren't they?
Well,
didn't PETA come in there and start hitting everybody over the head?
Dolphin on PETA. Delicious.
Could be delicious. Speaking of dolphins. So where would he go?
Well, I
would guess if you're Chicago, you could use some good press. Marc-Andre, wherever you'd like to go, let's see if we can facilitate.
Yeah, like they're going to be sellers, right? That's not a good team.
Yeah, of course.
And what team is a buyer that needs a goalie?
If you're Edmonton, who do you want? Fleury? Price? Is Price available? Like, would those be the two?
Boy, Price is going to be tough to fit in. There's term and money there. Big old money.
There's always a way, Ryan.
No, I agree.
Let's take that out of it.
It's a little easier to go get Chicago to eat half of Marc-Andre's deal and bring him in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But with Price, way easier deal to get made.
With Price, you almost can't, because he has so much left on that deal.
Well, and has he played this year, guys? Do we know where he's at? There's a lot of layers on that one.
Stanley Cup Finals.
Price, no one's saying he's not good.
He's got 4 years left at $10.5 million.
That's a lot of money.
You can't just... poops and giggles, that one. There's just, who's bringing him in for 4 more years at 10.5?
Seattle could have.
Yeah, it didn't.
Nope.
Could have, didn't.
And honestly, he hasn't played a game yet. Still might be better than Grubauer this year.
Okay, so let's go around the horn. Florida, Tampa Bay, Toronto, 3 teams in the Atlantic. They're not getting goalies.
They all got goalies. Lots of them. Rangers got a goalie.
Carolina,
Tampa got a goalie.
Rangers, Caps, they've got goalies. Pittsburgh.
Washington, you're comfy with?
I
don't mind it, but all the teams above them have better goalies. Boston's got like 4. They have Swayedog. They just traded Vladar. They got Rask. Boy,
got Rask,
he's got a PTO.
In.
You think he'll make the team, guys? I'm really rooting for him. It's a tryout.
Does Pittsburgh do it anyway? Casey DeSmith, Tristan Jarry. Jarry's been great this
year. Jarry was unreal when they passed through Calgary. I don't know what the rest of the samples looked like, but that swing through the West, he was awesome.
They've been playing pretty good. I don't know if they're going to mess.
They're really good defensively. That's a sharp team for sure. Same with Boston. And then, like, who else in the East is considering themselves a threat once you get past Boston there? Like
Boston. Jarry's got a 194 and
yeah,
a 931.
Yeah, you keep
it. But here's the thing. That made total sense to me. But he has been. If do they do a comeback player of the year? Like, I know Masterton is kind of for
injuries and stuff,
life stuff or whatever. But is there a Is there a bigger bounce back guy? I don't know if there is. But I don't.
Than Jari?
But I don't know where, because Nashville's got one of the hottest goalies in the league right now. St. Louis.
They love their goalie. Minnesota loves their goalie.
Now,
what
about Colorado?
That's an interesting spot because Kemper has not been great. And they give him, what, a first to get him?
Kemper, yeah, has not been great, has been good at times, but then injured. And that's his thing. Struggles with staying healthy for periods of time. And then you got Francois, who's also been ding this year.
A lot in his career.
Go get him. Mark on
him. Pick him up.
Hey?
Go play your old team, Vegas, beat them, huh?
Yeah. Marc-Andre Fleury.
There's not a lot of teams, though. It's like if you're in a playoff spot, you probably have had good goaltending. That's what this league usually looks like.
There you go. It's 8 o'clock. We'll break. We'll get back into we'll see about Jason Lagerfeur. I'm not holding my breath. We'll continue the hockey story. Games tonight, games from last night. We'll look into it. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.